Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Ayin Hey. Deeply appreciate the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. L'zecher Nishmas Lois Zaltman Lupin. We are starting the eighth parak of the Masechta today, and basically the breakdown goes like as follows. In Masechta Yuma is eight parakim. Seven deal with the Avodas Yom HaKippur, meaning have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and one parak deals with Yom Kippur for outside the perspective of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the Issur V'Heter of Yom Kippur, that which is prohibited, that which is permitted on Yom Kippur, and that's the Inuyim, the afflictions that we suffer on Yom Kippur. So basically, it's a breakdown of seven parakim to one parak. Psachim is also very, in terms of the structure of Masechta to Psachim, although the ratio is not the same ratio, but Psachim is made up of 10 parakim, and five parakim deal with Karban Pesach. Right, once you start Perek Hey, so Hey Vav Zayin Ches Tes, so that's five prakim that deal with Karban Pesach, and then the other prakim of the Masechta 1 through 4 and number 10 deal with the Issur V'Heter of Pesach and Issur V'Heter and also the Mitzvahs Halayla from our perspective without the Beis Hamikdash. So basically, now we are going to head into a lot of halacha lemaisa and a lot of practical halacha in the Masechta, as we are going to be approaching now the topic of Inuyim, of the afflictions that we are supposed to go through on Yom Kippur. And as we all know, just as a basic introduction, there's an Isra Achila on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And then, from a young age, we're taught that there are five Inuyim, that there are five afflictions on Yom Kippur. So it comes out from the first Mishnah, which we're about to see, in the beginning of the first Mishnah of the eighth Perek. These afflictions, however, the Torah never actually articulates, meaning the Torah never says don't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah just simply says, V'nisim es nafsho seichem, that when it comes to Yom Kippur, so you have to afflict yourself. But the Torah never actually puts into terms what exactly that means, that in Yom Kippur we have to afflict ourselves. So over the course of today's daf, one of the chief objectives of today's daf is to basically come to a determination. I mean, we're not going to break ground over here today, but we're gonna understand. What does the Torah want us to do on Yom Kippur? Meaning, V'nisim es nafsho seichem, we have to afflict ourselves, but in what respect, in what regard? And as you'll see, because the Torah doesn't expressly state what you're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur, so we're going to see some of the Rishonim this morning. I'm going to point to an important Tosfos Rishonim, which we're going to see over the course of this morning, where basically the discussion is, well, maybe if the Torah doesn't say what we can't do, so maybe we can make some distinctions between some of the Inuyim and some of the other Inuyim. Meaning maybe not every Inuy is going to be the same, at the same level, same degree of Isser. Maybe there are going to be differences between them. Okay, that's a general introduction. Let's begin. We start with the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis Yom HaKippurim Asur Ba'achil HaVishtiyah V'Rechitza V'Sicha V'Nilas HaSanda V'Tashmei Shamita. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to. It is prohibited to eat and drink, Rechitza, bathe oneself, Sicha, anoint yourself with oil, Nilas HaSanda, put on leather shoes, Tashmei Shamita, marital relations. Five is not a magical number. The Gemara never puts it into numbers. I know from an early age we're taught it's five, but okay, however you want to count it. Meaning these are the Inuyim, these are the abstentions that one must abstain on Yom Kippur. One is prohibited. The Gemara is going to pick up on the terminology of the Mishnah, which is the word Asur. Right? The Mishnah says they're prohibited. What's wrong with Asur? Meaning that's fine. Is there another word that we could have replaced instead of Asur, that we could have used instead of Asur? Well, the Gemara is going to point out that there could have been a stronger word that we could have used, which is that an act of not inui, of non-inui, would result in kares. So the truth of the matter is that, yeah, the Mishnah could have used a stronger term, but we'll get to that in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to address whether or not asur is the strongest word that the Mishnah could have used. Hamelch v'akala yirchutzu panem, and then from this point going forward in the Mishnah, leniencies. Meaning the general rule is you can't eat, drink, and all the other inuim that we just mentioned. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions to the rule. So the Mishnah notes Hamelch v'akala yirchutzu panem. So if you're either a king or a new wife, akala. The Gemara is going to talk more about how long this extends. How long are you a new wife for? But Hamelch v'akala yirchutzu panem, so they can wash their face. Rashi points out regarding the Melech, we'll try to we'll try to get underneath the hood and we'll try to understand why it's mutter. But just in terms of simple pshat in the Mishnah, what's so special about a king that he needs to wash his face? So if you take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah, darko ushvacho liyosnae. That's the king has to be presentable. Part of the definition of being a king is that you're the number one guy, and you have to look good. Shenemar melech biyafiyotecha zanei necha. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu. That's the definition of a king. So the king has a obligation to look good. He has to look good. Kala, look at the next Rashi in the Mishnah. Tzricha noy achetechavev abba Allah. V'chol shoshim yom lechupasa hi kriya kala. So Rashi gives it away. We'll see it in the Gemara. So Rashi says 30 days post-marriage, she's in the status of being a kala. She's got to look good for her husband. I mean, please understand, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and, you know, to a lesser degree nowadays, but they didn't really know each other, husband and wife, prior to the marriage. So, you know, the beginning of the marriage is, you know, that's basically where they're getting acquainted with one another. So, not good for her to look. Huh? Why the chosen? Yeah. I mean, okay, it's not an unreasonable question, but okay.
These are about an essay or a lab.
I'll get to that. That's it. Okay, Mitch, that's the right question. I'll get to that. Meaning that's we'll try to figure out how it becomes mutter. But right now, just describing why it's mutter. What's so special about a melech and a kala? Fine. So good. So they both need to look good for different reasons. It points out Rashi, melech because he's a melech. That's the definition of a king. Wife so that she becomes beloved to her husband. But for whatever the reason is, they're allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur. The chaya tinos sandal divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And the chaya is a woman who just gave birth. So she is in a precarious state. She's in a delicate state, fragile state. So therefore, she could wear sandals. She could wear leather shoes. Okay, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim Osrim and the Chachamim, and all these are Osir, they prohibit. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me first finish the Mishnah, and then we'll talk out an important point. Ha'ochel ka'koseves agasa. Kamoa uchigari nasa. If you eat a koseves, koseves is the volume of a date. Koseves agasa, literally the Mishnah means a fat date. Now when we say volume, so the Mishnah here is very specific in terms of we're talking volume, not only of the actual meat of the date, but the pit as well. Meaning I got to take the full volume of the date. Meaning I'll take a date, put it in water, its total displacement, including the pit as well. So that's the shear, that's the amount, where if you eat that much on Yom Kippur, v'ashosim melo lugmav, or if you drink a cheekful of drink, chayev, you would be chayev, one would be liable on Yom Kippur for the penalty incurred by not abstaining, non-inui. And then the Mishnah says, in terms of foods, so the Isser is not on any particular food. The Isser is on food. So therefore, you can eat a little bit of this, a little bit of that. In other words, you'll snack at the Kiddush. I know there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippur, but you understand. You go around from food to food, and as long as you ate the requisite shear, and even though it's a composite of all these different foods, nevertheless, you're going to be chayv. And the same thing is true with drink as well. It doesn't matter. There's no isser on the drink. It's just the isser is on drinking. So as long as you drink the requisite amount, you're going to be chayv. Ha'ocha v'shos te'ein mitstarfin. But food and drink are not mitstarif. Meaning, it's got to be food as its own entity and drink as its own entity. But if you have a little bit of food and a little bit of drink, they're not going to be mitstarif. Okay? Though a lot of these points we're going to come back to as we go through the Gemara. But let's tackle one of the big issues right now, and that is, what degree of Isser are we talking about? Meaning, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat, drink, and anoint yourself, and wear leather shoes, and engage in marital relations on Yom Kippur. These are all different manifestations of Inui. These represent affliction. The Torah says, on Yom Kippur, v'inisim es nafsho seichem, you must inflict yourself. So these are all manifestations. So these are all asr. Are these all asr prohibited by the Torah? Does the Torah prohibit all these manifestations? Or maybe the Torah only prohibits some of these manifestations, but not all of them. So we're going to take a look together at the Tosfos Shoshan. Tosfos Shoshan, the first one on the Masechta. In my Gemara, it's on the bottom. There are two columns on the bottom. Looking at the first column, the print is small. It's good for the eyes. I don't know if that's true, but I'll say it. Yom Kippur, Ma'aser Ba'achil V'Shir V'Chizah V'Sicha Lich Ora Mashma. So the Tosfos Yishanim says that ostensibly she called Elo Ha'inuyim Chutz Me'achil V'Shtiyah Midrabanan. So ostensibly, the Tosfos Yishanim says that outside of eating and drinking Yom Kippur, the other Isurim in our Mishnah are Aser Midrabanan. They're rabbinically prohibited. Meaning the Torah prohibition is only going on eating and drinking and not on anything otherwise. And even though there is a prohibition on Yom Kippur to not anoint yourself and to not wear leather shoes and to not engage in marital relations, those are prohibited midrabanan rabbinically. Now you have to understand, Tosfos Yishanim is armed with information that we don't have yet because we haven't gone through the Gemara yet. So we'll go through parts of this Tosfos Yishanim and I will explain to you the Gemaras that he's looking at that arrives him at this conclusion. So the vishtiya midrabanan midaleka v'hu kares rak ba'achila vishtiya keda aminim b'gemara. So point number one says the Tosfos Yishanim, we'll get to this in the Gemara, but point number one is, we're going to learn in the Gemara, that the only iser kares is for eating and drinking. Meaning, we'll see later on this morning, there is no iser kares for any of the other abstentions. Now what you could have said, is that for all these other abstentions, it's aser min haTorah, there's just no iser kares. Tosfos Yishanim says, I'd prefer not to say that. What I'd like to say, again, this is Tosfos Yishanim speaking, is that when there's no Issur Kares, that means there's no Issur Torah. The Torah doesn't prohibit it, period. So that's point number one of the Tosfos Yishanim, which we'll see later in the Gemara. V'gam mi disharina l'melech v'kal l'chotz v'yish chatatim b'rosho sach kidarko v'nechoshesh ulemishi adam l'ach l'achos betiv v'tzawa l'chotz. And as we'll see, we already saw in the Mishnah, and we're going to see later on in the Gemara, there are heterim. There are rooms for leniency. Melech and Kala can wash their face. Why? Oh, because the king's got to look good. Okay, but it's Yom Kippur. Where's there room for leniency? So the Tosfos Yishanim says, I'll tell you where there's room for leniency. Because washing is an Issur D'Rabbanan. Hey Mamru v'hey Mamru. So washing is an Issur D'Rabbanan. So the Chachamim said, fine. Generally it's prohibited, but under certain circumstances, okay. If Inui were an Issur min haTorah, so where's the room for leniency? How can we say, oh king? Okay, fine. He could wash his face. Why? Pasuk and Mishlei? Or Kala? Or she could wash her face? Again, if it's Issur min haTorah, hard to understand why there should be a leniency. Okay, so and he goes on, and maybe we'll come back to some of the points that he makes later on. But anyway, but the Tosfos Yishanim is of the opinion, it's not universal, not everyone agrees with this, but he's of the opinion that in the Mishnah we're going to differentiate between eating and drinking, which is an Issur min haTorah, and all the other inuyim you mentioned in the Mishnah, which are only Issur min derabanan. With this differentiation, he's able to help us understand why it is that for a king and a kala, they can wash their face. For a chaya, she can wear shoes. Okay, good. We'll come back to the Tosfos Yishanim. He makes more points. Time permits, we'll come back to it. Maybe tomorrow we'll come back to it as well. But anyway, but it's an important yesod in the Mishnah, and it helps us understand. Okay, start with the Gemara. We're still on Ayin Gemara Midi Beis. We're starting with the Gemara Aser and Oshkarisu. And the Gemara says the word choice of the Mishnah is questionable. Meaning the Mishnah says that these activities on Yom Kippur is prohibited. Prohibited, say it better, say it stronger. Meaning the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah's purpose is to educate and inform. And if the Mishnah wants to tell us that these are really prohibited activities, the word Aser doesn't even say enough. Should say it's an Issur Kares, because it is. So Amar Rabbi Yelai v'Temer Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo nitzrucha ela chatzishir. Okay, so the Gemara now takes us into a very fundamental discussion, which is a big part of today's daf, and that is, well, maybe the Mishnah is telling us a point in a big chiddush, and that is chatzishir. Now the idea behind chatzishir is as follows. Now the terminology means half of an amount. Lav dafka doesn't have to be half of an amount. I'll show you Rashi later on. Rashi clearly says any amount. But in other words, maybe the Mishnah here is making a really important point, and that is the following. On Yom Kippur, you can't eat. Okay? And how much can't you eat? A kosevis, the volume of a date. Okay, fine. But meanwhile, what if I eat less than a date? What if I eat half of a date? What if I eat a quarter of a date? Did I not violate a Torah prohibition So maybe what the Mishnah is teaching us is you violated a Torah prohibition. It is usur min haTorah to eat less than a shear. So then you're entitled to ask an obvious question, logical question. Well, if that's true, so then why is there a shear? Right. Meaning if the Torah prohibits me to eat half of a date or a quarter of a date or any amount on Yom Kippur, so what difference does it make whether there's a shear or there's no shear? But the answer is pretty obvious. The difference is punishment. Meaning that the Torah prohibits chatzi shear. But meanwhile, the punishment that the Torah places for your eating on Yom Kippur, if there are no witnesses, kares. If there are witnesses, malchus. So the punishment that's incurred only will be arrived if the person eats a shear. But in terms of iser, even chatzi shear. That could be an understanding of our Mishnah. And then our Mishnah is teaching us a really big chiddush. But then the Gemara says, okay, but this is not universally accepted, as we'll see over the course of today's daf. Machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, whether Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah or not. Rav Yochanan says Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. So I understand our Mishnah well according to Rabbi Yochanan. But according to Reish Lakish, who says Chatzi Shir is Mutter Min HaTorah, so then again, back to square one. Why is our Mishnah using the word Asur? Our Mishnah has to be dealing with a person who ate a shear, because according to Reish Lakish, Chatzi Shir is Mutter Min HaTorah. So then why is the Mishnah using the word Asur use a stronger term? Right. And the Gemara just simply recaps the question. So the Gemara tells us that even according to Reish Lakish, it may be Mutter Min HaTorah, but it's rabbinically prohibited according to Reish Lakish, and therefore Reish Lakish also can say a pshat in our Mishnah. Why does our Mishnah choose the term Asur? Because what the Mishnah is telling us is that you can't eat even less than the volume of a date. According to Rav Yochanan, that is a biblical prohibition. According to Reish Lakish, it's a rabbinic prohibition. Either way, it's prohibited. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. That's why the Mishnah chooses the terminology of Aser. So now the Gemara is going to take us away from Yuma for a little bit and bring us to the topic of Karban Shavuah. Karban Shavuah, the topic of Karban Shavuah, right, the Masechta that we learned together 3 years ago already. It's been a while. More than 3 years ago. Right? Shavuos finds itself at the end of Seder Nezikin. Okay, so it's been a while. But anyway, but Masechta Shavuos is a Masechta dedicated to the topic of making a Shavuah, making an oath, and either going against the oath that you made, or doing something that goes against the oath you made. In other words, it could be done in either one of two ways, either as a positive or as a negative. But it's basically violating a Shavuah. Now, if you do so, and you do so inadvertently, so you have to bring a Karban. This is what's called Karban Shavuah. The Mishnah in Shavuah deals with the following scenario. Shavuah shalo ochel. Let's say I made a Shavuah, I'm not going to eat. Okay, the person wants to motivate himself, he needs to lose some pounds, so he says, I'm not going to eat. And then he goes ahead and not eat totally. That's a Shavuah that nobody can hold by. But in other words, he said he's not going to eat a particular food, or he's not going to eat meat anymore, whatever the case is. And then he eats food that's already prohibited to him. Okay. Did he violate his Shavuah, yes or no? The Mishnah discusses. The Mishnah deals with exactly the scenario. Shavuah shalach v'achal nevel shtir v'shkatz v'ramasim. Chayav. Rabbi Shimon Poter. So, Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon argue, a person made a Shavuah that he's not going to eat, and then he ate things which are prohibited to him. Now, simple question on the table. I make a Shavuah that I'm not going to eat. Is that Shavuah going to include things that the Torah already prohibits me from eating? Generally speaking, the answer to that question is going to be no. There's a term that we see in Shavuot again and again, Mushba ve'omed mehar Sinai. In other words, the Torah already, we already made an oath, maybe not in the course of our lifetime, but our parents, our grandparents, when we stood at Har Sinai, so we already made a Shavuah that we're not going to eat. Mushbav arm, oh, mate, we were told we need to make, we're going to make a Shavuah. So in other words, when we make a Shavuah, we're not going to eat, it doesn't include things that are already prohibited to us because Mushbav arm made. So, v'havinan ba. So when learning this Mishnah, a very simple question. Rabbi Shimon's position, that's good. That we get. the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. What's he doing? How could you be chayev? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara has two approaches to deal with this question. And you'll see how this is going to affect our discussion of Chatzi Shir. So Rav Shmuel Rav Yochanan Darmi Bekol Dvarim Mutarim Dvarim Hasurim. So both Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan give one approach to the Mishnah Shvuos. How is it that you can make a Shvua that will incorporate prohibited foods? Answer, says Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, you made a Shvua going on both Heter foods and Isser foods. And we have a concept that we use throughout Shas. It's called Migu. Migu is this idea that I can make a Shvua on one and it will include something else, something that already may be prohibited to me. And so therefore, when I make a Shvua on both Heter and Isser, because my Shvua is Chal on Heter, it will also be Chal on Isser as well. That would be a circumstance where I can then eat non-kosher foods and violate my Shvua. And we're not going to employ the rule of Mushbav al-Mehar Sinai. A very technical answer, but fine, that's an answer. But that's not the part that we are interested in. We're interested in the next answer. Reish Lakish Amar, Ia Tamotze Ela B'Mefaresh Chatzi Shir V'Aliba D'Rabbanan O B'Stam V'Aliba D'Rabbi Kiba D'Amar Adam Oster Atzmo B'Chol Shehu. So the Gemara says, well, Reish Lakish says like this. First of all, there's a basic machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva. The Chacham and Rabbi Kiva says, when I make a shvua, let's say I'm not going to eat a food. Does my and I don't specify how much. So what's the default amount without my articulation? Is it going to be a shear or is it going to be any amount? So that's the machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva. Reish Lakish says, but here's how we'll address the issue. Do you know how it's going to work that you're going to make a shvua, and that shvua will cover even prohibited foods, even though those prohibited foods are mushbav almin mar Sinai? Because you make a shvua that you're going to eat less than a shear. Now, how do you get to that point? So again, so machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, according to the Chachamim, you have to articulate, and you have to say, in other words, the Torah prohibits me from eating a kezayis of nevela. I make a shvua, I'm not even going to eat a chatzi zayis. Or, according to Rabbi Akiva, any time that you make a shvua, it includes even less than a shear. But good, but that's how it's going to work. Meaning the Torah's prohibition is only going on the full shear. I'm making a shvua on even less than the full shear. So far, so good. And it's of course Reish Lakish who's going to give us his answer. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, chatzi shear is mutter min haTorah. The Torah permits it. So now here's what bothers the Gemara. V'chi tema top of ayin dalam adalef. V'chi tema kevin de islay heter min haTorah. Kachayel korban shvua. So now, according to Reish Lakish, the Gemara just explained to us before we got into the Mishnah Shvuos that Reish Lakish says that chatzi shir is mutter min haTorah, but rabbinically prohibited. So now I turn to our Mishnah Shvuos, and the Gemara says this is a head scratcher. I don't understand now the Mishnah Shvuos, because according to Reish Lakish, how does this work? How can I make a shvu on prohibited foods? So Reish Lakish said, and be chayev, meaning and violate my shvua, mushbav al min mahar Sinai. So Reish Lakish's answer was, well, you made a shvua on chatzi shir. But the Gemara told us that according to Reish Lakish, although chatzi shir is mutter min haTorah, but it's rabbinically forbidden. So when all said and done, when the day is over, that amount of nevela is still prohibited to me. So basically what the Gemara is now going to ask is, you're still prohibited from eating it. It's mushba va'omid mahar Sinai. Now here's where it gets interesting. Mushba va'omid mahar Sinai, not exactly. It's mushba va'omid, because the Chachamim said I can't eat it. But it's still prohibited to me. So kevan de isle heter min haTorah kachal karban shvua v'hatanan. The Gemara says, but I don't understand. If you're rabbinically prohibited, that's considered mushbav omed. And the Gemara says, and I'll prove that this is so. How so? Because the Gemara says, I'll show you another Mishnah, Shvuos. Shvuos ha'edos eino nohagas ala bru'in lahay. Shvuos ha'edos. Another circumstance where you made an oath, and if you lied, you're going to be under penalty. Specifically for what? For testimony. Meaning, let's say you have testimony. You saw a crime, and you're a valid witness. You could be a valid witness, and then you get a knock on the door. You get a subpoena, and you're asked to come to court to testify. And you said, "Look, I don't know what. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You were there? No, wasn't there. And you make a shvua to that effect that you weren't there. And by the way, by shvua, say, if I remember correctly, you're going to be chayv a karban whether you did a b'shogeg or whether you did a b'mezid. Okay, that one's an interesting one. But either way, you make a shvua, so you're on the hook. Meaning you, and it turns out that you come clean and you come forward and you say, look, you're right, I did have the testimony, I did withhold the testimony, I even swore that I didn't know, and the truth of the matter is I knew. So you're on the hook now, you have to bring a karban. This is what's called shvuos ha'edus. Fine. What if you're a person who can't testify? You're precluded from testifying. So the Mishnah says you're never going to be liable for shvuos ha'edus, which quite frankly makes perfect sense. Meaning, if you're a person who the court won't listen to, so then you are precluded from this whole issue, this whole inyan of Shavuos Eidos, says the Mishnah. Back to Shavuos. Shavuos Eidos, and no hegel asela beruin lahaid. You have to be somebody who at least could potentially testify. And on that, vavina balamute mai, so Rav Papa ama lamute melach. So Rav Papa says, a king. We know a king can't testify. Second parak of Sanhedrin. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar lemutei mesachek bekubya. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, you know who else we're excluding? A gambler. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, third parak, says a gambler can't testify. Okay, various, the lengthy discussion over there in the Gemara. But a gambler can't testify, period. Now, v'ha mesachek bekubya midorei semech sechaze. Now, min haTorah, can a gambler testify? Yes. He is only disqualified on a rabbinic level. Rabbanu da pasluhu v'lo kachay le'ala shvua. And meanwhile, there is not going to be any liability for a shvua, for making a false oath, for saying, I'm sorry, I don't know anything. I even swear to the fact that I don't know anything. Even though his prohibition is only rabbinic, so nevertheless, there's not going to be any liability for making such a shvua. So the Gemara says, so here, let's now think this through. So now, his inability to testify is only rabbinic. Min haTorah, he could testify. And meanwhile, because he is precluded from testimony, albeit on a rabbinic level, he's exempt from the shvua. So now let's translate that to our discussion. Our discussion is a person makes a shvua, I'm not going to eat this food. Now, according to Reish Lakish, Chatzi Shir is Mutter Min haTorah. But it's Aser Midrabanan. At least that's what the Gemara was arguing, according to Reish Lakish. Now, if it's Aser Midrabanan, that means rabbinically, he is precluded from eating this food. So let's make the same exact argument. Just like in the world of Shvuos Ha'edus, he is going to be excluded from a karban, so too in Shvuah, in a standard Shvuah, where I make an oath, I'm not going to eat that food, and the Chachamim prohibited me from eating that food, that's only rabbinically prohibited, he should be excluded from a karban Shvuah. That's the Gemara's question, based on the comparison between the two. And to which the Gemara gives an answer, and really, we could sit on this answer for a while. We're not going to. But the Gemara says, "Shani Hasam Dama Krayim Lo Yagid V'Hai Lav Bar Hagaduhu Klal." So the Gemara differentiates between the case of Shvuos Ha'edus and the case of a Shvua of not eating. The Gemara says, and the differentiation goes like this: by Shvuos Ha'edus, the Torah says, "Do you know why you're going to be penalized if you make an oath? Because Lo Yagid, because you had testimony and you didn't testify. This person simply can't testify." Now, the reasons why he can't testify don't even matter. Meaning, the bottom line is, he's simply not a person who can testify. So, when he makes an oath and he says, I swear I don't know anything, if he's in a position where he can never testify, done. He's exempt from the karban shvua. Because he is in a state of Blav Bar Hagadahu. He is simply excluded. He's a person who's excluded from testimony. But when it comes to a shvua of ochel or lo ochel, and I make a shvua and I say, I'm not going to eat that, even though what that is prohibited food. Oh, okay, of course, the Torah says I can't eat a kazayas. I'm not even going to eat a chatzi zayas. To which Reish Lakish basically says that's prohibited in midrabanan. And meanwhile, Reish Lakish says in the Mishnah Shvuos that if he eats it, meaning the chatzi shir, he's going to have to bring a carbon shvua. And again, our question is, but why? He's prohibited from eating that. And again, then now the Gemara is making a clear differentiation. Where in the case of Edus, Lav Bar Hagada, he's a person who's precluded. In the case of Achila, and what I mean by that is, yeah, the Chachamim prohibited, but the food is Be'etzem not prohibited. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, the food only becomes prohibited when you have a shear. Anything less than that, and there's nothing be'etzem wrong with the food, but it's the Chachamim telling you that you can't eat less than a shear. So there's a difference between Edus and Achila, according to Reish Lakish. Okay. I could have done that slower, and we could elaborate on the difference, but we got to go on. So less than a shear, minatora, it's food. It's edible. It's edible food. Where if I make a shvu and I say I'm not going to eat it, the shvu is chal. Even though the rabbis prohibited less than a shear. Look, it's interesting. We could really dwell on this point, but we got to move.
Does it
have to do with the definition? It has to do with the definition of Isser. Meaning, when we talk about Isser, right? Mushpa va'omed mehar sina. When the Torah says, well, the Torah already prohibited you from eating that. Well, less than the shear, according to Reish Lakish, is not Isser.
Well, is it not Isser or is it not
Achila? Okay, we could sit on that point. But from the Gemara's perspective, it sounds like it's not Isser. Meaning, right. And then the problem becomes, what are we going to do with our Mishnah and Yuma? So to which the Gemara says, well, according to Reish Lakish, that's why our Mishnah uses the word Aser. Because in Yuma, less than a shear, is Aser Midrabanan. But from a Torah standpoint, it's not Iser. Now, V'chol Hecha, the Tzni or Diktani Anish Karetz Lo Tzni Aser. Now, the Gemara says, can we go back for just a moment? What was the whole problem with our Mishnah? The choice of words. Our Mishnah says that in Yom Kippur, it is usher to eat. And the Gemara was bothered because poor word choice. Not poor word choice, but you could have said stronger. Usher, enosh kares. And so basically we then segued into Chati Shir, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Mishnah Shvuos. But the Gemara says, can we go back all the way to the beginning of the whole discussion? Usher is not a poor word choice. Meaning usher means you can't eat it, period. It's not it's pretty clear. And what bothered us? What bothered us is the Mishnah didn't say chayev. You know, we do find, the Gemara's going to argue, we do find that when the Mishnah uses the word usher, it means chayev. It may not be such a poor word choice. V'chol hecha d'ni enosh karis lov t'ni aser v'atayin yafa b'sham r'aser b'kulan lo amru enosh karis ela ala ocha v'shosa v'osa malacha b'vad. Even though that they said usher regarding all of them, meaning regarding all the abstentions of Yom Kippur, but the enosh karis is only going to come with eating and drinking and doing malacha on Yom Kippur. That and only that. So, what do you see from this braisa? That the word usher is fine. The word usher indicates that these activities are prohibited. Now, for some of these activities, chayav kares. For some of them, not. But in other words, the term usher is a fair term to use. So, hachi kamer, the Gemara says, no, this is what the Brice actually meant. Kishamru usher lo amru ala bechati shir. Ava kishir enosh kares. The Gemara says, no, maybe what the Brisa means is like this. When we say Aser is for Chatzi Shir, because it's only Aser, meaning there's no term that would be that we could use to describe Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is Aser, period. And then, when it comes to eating and drinking, and you have a Shir, now we'll up the ante, and now we'll say Enosh Karis. So that's one way to learn the Braisa. So then if we're going to learn the Braisa this way, so then we're back to our original question was a correct question. Meaning, what's the terminology that's used in the Mishnah? Should be more than just Aser. Because Aser just simply means, don't do it. But it doesn't speak to what it could, which is the corporal, or in this case, right, not the corporal punishment, it's right, the courage punishment that's associated with eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Or the Gemara says, look, another way to learn the Braisa is that when it says Aser, it's going on the other abstentions. They taught a Braisa from the Academy of Rav. That when the Torah says that you're not allowed to bathe and anoint and put on leather shoes and marital relations, so how do I know that? Tamalamar Shabbason, which the word Shabbason means Shavos. Stop. Cessation. Okay, in other words, a word that doesn't speak to the Issa Kares because there is no Issa Kares. And again, going back all the way to the Tosfos Yeshanim that we started off this morning, may not even be Aser Min HaTorah. Meaning what the Gemara over here is introducing us to is what we would call Nasmachta. Meaning, but it's not a bona fide Isser. But when we're talking about eating and drinking, that is a bona fide Isser. Okay. We get to speak now a little bit more in depth regarding this prohibition of this idea of Chatzi Shir. Okay, big topic comes up again and again. Right, over the course of our lifetimes, God willing, we heard Shirim on Chatzi Shir, we'll hear more Shirim on Chatzi Shir. Gufa Chatzi Shir, Rav Yochanan Masar Min HaTorah, Rish Lakish Amar Mutar Min HaTorah. So here it is, the Gemara takes on this topic straight on. What if I eat less than a Shir? So Rav Yochanan says it's still a Torah prohibition. Rav Rish Lakish says, no, it's not. So Rav Yochanan Mutar Min HaTorah, Rav Yochanan Masar Min HaTorah, Kevin Dechazil, Tzurufi Yisuri Ka'acha. Rav Yochanan invokes a svara, an argument. And the argument of Rav Yochanan is, I'm Chatzi Shir is Aser. Why? Chaze le'itzterufe. Because the half of a kezayis of nevela that I'm going to eat, all I need to do is eat another half, and I get a penalty. So because this can add, and incrementally will eventually yield a punishment, so therefore, every increment in of itself is going to be Aser. That's the argument of Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar Mutar Min HaTorah, Achila Amar Chman of Aleika. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's Mutar Min HaTorah. Why? Because the Torah says Achila. And we know, Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Every time the Torah says the word Achila, it means a requisite amount, a shear. And because I ate less than a shear, the Torah doesn't prohibit it. And again, going back to the beginning of the daf today, it's Aser Min HaRabbanan, but it's not Aser Min HaTorah. The Torah doesn't prohibit eating Chatzi Shear. Okay? Now, what does Rav Yochanan do with Achila? So that's something to think about. Let me introduce the question a little bit differently. This is, again, we don't know this information yet, but I'll tell you, and we'll see in the Gemara in just a moment. I'm just going to repackage your question. How does Rav Yochanan know that less than a shear is Aser Min HaTorah? So we just learned together in the Gemara that he invoked a svara, a logical argument. We're going to see in just a moment that he has a drasha. There's a pasuk and there's a drasha. Now, that answers your question a lot better. Because if it's a pasuk and it's a drasha, so then, how do I know the Torah prohibits less than a shear? Answer, because the Torah says so. But then, it's a little bit troubling. Meaning, well, if I have the pasuk and I have the drasha, so then why did the Gemara provide a svara? What is the svara adding to the drasha? Once we have a drasha, that's it. Meaning, the Torah prohibits less than a shear. And then, on top of that, we have the svara, we have the argument of chazi l'tzterufe, why do I need that? That's a question dealt with by the Rishonim. The Rishonim are bothered by that very issue. Okay, but once you know there's a drasha, so the Danny, your question is answered. Eisvei Rav Yochanan.
I don't know how much time, I mean, you eat a chazi shear, and then in the morning, and then the chazi shear, what, at night?
Right.
Right. That's that?
Right. Is there going to be like a break in the action? Right. So generally speaking, part of the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it has to be eaten b'chdei achilas pras.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Or according to what I said here, if he eats at the last second of Yom Kippur,
right.
He has no time to eat the other one,
right.
So it would be midrabanan.
Right. Also, the Achronim deal with this. In other words, the Rambam adopts the Rav Yochanan position. Achasi shares us from the Torah. So, but still, Reish Lakish is a shita. It's an opinion. You get Schar Torah for learning the opinion of Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, you eat Chatzis Shir. So Minatorah, you didn't violate Nisr. Again, rabbinically prohibited, but Minatorah, you didn't violate Nisr. So, it's worth exploration. I'm just raising the issue. So what did you do? Minatorah. You didn't violate Nisr Minatorah. So what is that considered? And then, what happens according to Reish Lakish when you get to the Shir? Meaning, now do we go back and do we say that the achila that you did, which the Torah didn't prohibit, do we now look backwards and say, you just violated Torah prohibition because of a later action? That's, according to Reish Lakish, that's really, that's thought-provoking. That's like, it's hard to conceptualize how that works. Okay, I raise the issue, but we got to go on. Eisvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Okay, Rav Yochanan is going to attack Reish Lakish straight on. And with a braisa. And ainli ala koshiyeshna ba'onish. Yeshna ba'azara. Anything which is subject to a punishment is subject to Torah prohibition. However, koi, chatzishir, hol ve'inu ba'onish, yachol einu ba'azara. So, but when it comes to koi, right, the koi is a species of animal. And we're unsure, does it fall categorically under the species of behema, or does it fall categorically under the species of chaya? Now that makes a big difference. Behema, I'm not allowed to eat the chalav of behema. Chaya, I am allowed to eat the chalav of a chaya. Chalav is is the forbidden fat. So although in a chaya, it's not forbidden. So you have deer, or any animal that the Torah permits you to eat, which falls categorically under chaya, so you can sit down and you can, I'm not recommending this from a health standpoint, but you want to eat the hard fats of such an animal, by all means, the Torah permits it. The koi, we don't know if it's a behemoth, we don't know if it's a chaya. So therefore, it's therefore, so that's what the Gemara discusses now. Koi, and in the same breath, in the same line, chatzi shir, ho, the eino ba'onesh, Yachalina Bazara. So since you don't get an onesh, there's no punishment for either eating the forbidden fats of a koi, because quite frankly, I don't know if it's forbidden, and so therefore there's no punishment. And the chatzishir. And there's no punishment for eating chatzishir. I might have thought there's a braisa, the Torah doesn't prohibit it. Tamalamar kol chalev. So the Torah says kol chalev. Any amount of chalev. Okay, so what just happened? In the braisa separated punishment and prohibition. Even though it's not subject to punishment, it's still minat Torah prohibited. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, what are you going to do now? Do you see what just happened in the braisa? We separated punishment and prohibition. Although you're not subject to punishment, there's still a Torah prohibition. Okay, good. Rav Yochanan says, "Oh, you see, it sounds like I'm right. Chatzis shir is also min haTorah." So, to which the Gemara's answer is a one word answer, or four words, right? Well, there's an explanation. Midrabanan. The Bryce is only speaking rabbinically prohibited. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. Now, yes, we quoted a pasuk, but the pasuk is an asmachta. Meaning, what the Chachamim do is that when they legislate, they like connecting their legislation to the Torah. It's what we call asmachta. Giving a very loose definition of what asmachta means. But in this context, it's a working definition.
What does kol chalev mean?
Kol chalev. Okay, fine. You're right. In other words, we're going to have to understand the pshat and the pasuk. Good. But in other words, but in this case, it's just a rabbanan. And the Gemara says, and you know what? I'm right. Meaning this is Reish Lakish talking. It is a derabbanan. And the Torah over here is just an asmachta. It's a connection. But hachinami mistaba disakadacha daraisa koi sfeika hu tzrich kral esui sfeika. Because let's think about this. In the same breath in the braisa, we were discussing chasi shir, we were discussing koi. By the way, some people pronounce it kvi. You can go either way. It's a suffix, so we, you know, there's obviously going to be a debate in terms of how to pronounce it as well. So the so koi sveika hu itzrich krali sui sveika, and I need a pasuk to tell me don't need a suffix. Meaning I don't know what it is. It's either a chai or a behema, and now the Torah has to go out of its way and say, oh, don't eat it. What do you mean? It's a suffix. Of course I'm not going to eat it. It's prohibited. So imishum halo irya. So the Gemara says, if that's what's bothering you, don't let that bother you. Koi be'er bifnei atzmehi. The Gemara says, you know, we can argue, and in Chulin we argue this a number of times. Koi is not a suffix. Do you know what koi is? It's a new category. Meaning, what we don't know, what we thought was, well, koi could be a behema, could be a chaya. I have the chalev now of such animal. Maybe I can eat, maybe I cannot. The Gemara says, no. No, no, new approach. New approach is, it's not a behema, it's not a chaya. It's a third category. It's its own independent category. And yes, now Rav Yochanan says, I could be right, that when we're invoking a pasuk of kol chelev, the Torah is telling you don't eat it. Why does the Torah need to tell you that? It's a suffix. Answer, the Torah needs to tell you that because it's a new category. It's not behema, it's not chaya. So dilo temahachi hadam ravidi baravinafa hadam ravidi baravin, and the Gemara says, and this approach is a good approach and it works. And how do I know it works? Because observe the following: av kol asui koi, because there's also a prohibition of eating blood. Now we're not allowed to eat the blood of birds. We're not allowed to eat the blood of animals, regardless of whether it's a chay or whether it's a behema. And the kol dam is coming to include even the blood of koi. We're not allowed to eat the blood of koi. Now, koi sveikahu. Istur korla rabuya sveika. Now, to koi, what do you mean? Okay, fine, but that's a mitzvah, and that's fine. But the prohibition of eating applies to both. So the Gemara says, now I need a drasha to include koi. So ela ber yashani. The Gemara says, yeah. Yeah, yes, you do. Because if koi is its independent category, so then yes, I need a drasha. Because I'm not allowed to eat the blood of behema. Got it. I'm not allowed to eat the blood of a chaya. Got it as well. Well, here we go, and we have a koi. What's a koi? So if it's an independent category, so then I might have thought, I could have easily entertained, okay, behema blood I'm not allowed to eat. Chaya blood I'm not allowed to eat. Koi blood, that's fine. That's why I need a drasha, and that's why I need the kol dam. So shahachanami shabir yashani, and now that we have that regarding dam, we could say the same thing regarding chaylev as well. Chaylev, the chaylev of koi, I need a drush in the Torah because it's its own separate category. Good. Okay. So far, what we've covered this morning, started the eighth, we're going to go on a little bit more, but we started the eighth parak of Yuma, introduced ourselves to the inuyim, the abstentions of Yom Kippur. Tosis Yishanim makes a differentiation between Achilat Shtia and the other Inuyim. It's borne out by the fact that the Gemara has told us over the course of today's daf that Achil and Shtia are subject to Kares, the others are not subject to Kares, and so it certainly sounds like good evidence for the Tosis Yishanim that the other Inuyim are not Asur Min HaTorah. Chatzi Shir, eating less than a Shir, fundamental machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. Reish Lakish says Chatzi Shir is Mutar Min HaTorah. Albeit, even according to Reish Lakish, it's Asur Min HaRabbanan. Okay, so far that is what we've covered. Now, how do I know that I'm not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur? Okay, now the Mishnah says so. Good. But where in the Torah is that located? That will be the rest of today's daf. We'll start it now. We're not going to finish. We'll finish tomorrow. But we'll start the discussion right now. Tanu Rabbanan Tanu Esnafshu Se'echem. Yachol. Now the Torah says on Yom Kippur you have to afflict yourself. Now what does that mean? Right? Simple question. What does the Torah want of us on Yom Kippur? Yachol Yeshu Bechama B'tzina Kedei Shitztayer. So let's say it's a really hot day. I mean, I guess it depends where you live. But let's say it's a really hot Yom Kippur. So maybe what the Torah wants us to do is schwitz. Go outside and really schwitz. Or if it's, let's say, a cold Yom Kippur. Right, you're up in the north, it's freezing, it's a late Yom Kippur, this year it's going to be a late Yom Kippur, so it's freezing, and maybe the Torah wants you to go outside, and really get cold, meaning really, like, torture ourselves. So, Tam alam rav chom alach lo asasem, mam alach sheve al taseh, af inui sheve al taseh. No, it has to be in the context of passive. There's, in other words, what the Torah wants to do is afflict ourselves passively, not actively. Just like malacha. The Isser malacha are all los ases. They're all don'ts. Meaning go through every malacha on Shabbos. Every one of them. All 39 of them are don't. Don't. Down the list. So Inu Yom Kippur, same working definition. Don't. Meaning abstention. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe we can make a similar suggestion in the context of don't. Maybe what the Torah wants us to do on Yom Kippur is if we're outside and it's really hot, maybe the Torah wants us not to go indoors and cool off. Or maybe if it's really cool and we want to heat ourselves up and go in the sun, maybe the Torah says no, don't go in the sun. So the Gemara says, "Dumi de malacha, ma malacha lo chilakta ba, af inui lo tachluk bo." So to which the Gemara's response is, "No, it has to be uniformity, meaning it has to be an inui that is not subject to conditions, but a standard uniform inui." Which is, as we'll see, over the course of the rest of today's daf, which we'll do tomorrow, abstention from eating. Abstention from eating is, it fits, it follows this category of a passive, non-action inui, and it's uniform. Meaning for every single one of us, if we stop eating, it's going to be uncomfortable. So that's how we are going to arrive at the conclusion, one way, that we're going to arrive at the conclusion that inui is a cessation of eating and drinking. We'll pursue this discussion tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf ayin hey is really the man daf of all of Shas. Meaning tomorrow we discuss man, which also almost connects us to the parsha. We just did Bishalach, but now it's in the rearview mirror. But that's tomorrow's daf. Stay tuned for a great discussion of man coming up tomorrow.